The opening bell is sponsored by Associated Bank. In business, the bottom line is always top of mind. That's why Associated Bank provides treasury management solutions and tools to give you the financial information needed to effectively run your business. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Behrens, the Senior Vice President of the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
I want to focus our conversation first on the real estate transfer tax referendum in Chicago. It was the Bring Chicago Home referendum that failed in front of voters. This would have been a big tax on high-end commercial real estate, regular real estate as well. Talk to us a little bit about the failure of this referendum and how commercial real estate efforts really paid off here.
Yeah, they did. And I can't express enough how important that the effort was that went to defeating this referendum. This would have been an absolute disaster for really all commercial real estate across the city. And I mean, even residential real estate to a certain extent, with how bad the commercial property sector has been, particularly in Chicago. The taxes are high anyways. I hear a lot from a lot of my clients that they have investors who have completely exited the Chicago market, all of Illinois, Cook County. This extra tax would have just been that much more difficult to get any kind of business activity done. The people in that were opposed to this referendum came out and really, I think, expressed to the voting public of how difficult life would have been, and this kind of issues would have obviously impacted commercial real estate immediately. But I think that trickle down really happens would be felt across the city, particularly if small businesses have a hard time selling their real estate, what's the alternative? I mean, say a mom and pop has a grocery store and they're not able to sell that building. They're at retirement age. They don't have kids that want to take over the business. They would sell it and keep that grocery store open. If they can't sell it, they hold it and there's really no exit. So they basically close their business and that building starts to decay. And there's the jobs that were once, employed or people who are employed by that grocery store are out of work. So I think the administration, and luckily the administration, needed to realize that, their intent on what they would call this originally started as the mansion tax and taxing the rich property owners, it really would have had a trickle down effect and would have hurt, all the people in the city. And I think it's good that the voters actually came out and opposed it, and maybe even saw that this wouldn't be the right course of action, the right way to fund homelessness programs. I think there are other avenues to do that. And I certainly think it's a worthwhile cause, but I think doing that on the back of really every real estate owner in the city would have been the wrong course of action. And luckily, it's not going to happen.
Well, you mentioned the flip side of all of this, and the flip side is this increasing amount of homelessness and the problems that creates for everybody that lives in the city of Chicago and for Cook County and big cities all across the country. I mean, doesn't that also have a negative effect on the business climate?
Yeah, I think it has a negative effect. But I think, with the vague wording of how the administration said they were going to utilize these funds to help homelessness, I mean, it really doesn't give any kind of confidence in, a state government or a city government that really doesn't have a great track record of dealing with large pools of money. I think if the administration goes to the business leaders and the stakeholders, the real estate owners across the city, I think they can come up with a better solution than just throwing a big pot of money at City Hall and hoping somebody is going to do something good there. I think if you gather a group of business leaders as well as political leaders, they can come up with a better solution. And I think the administration just needs to involve the business community in that decision.
the mayor's office says it's not willing to give up just yet on this. And so I guess the feeling is that perhaps something's going to come back at a future date on this. I'm hearing you say that this needs to be something that everybody, all of the stakeholders are involved in coming up with a solution to, not just a tax referendum.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I have talked about this in the past. I mean, you know, when life was good and, you know, the city was booming and business was, activity was great, you know, back in the mid-2000s, I remember the city proposed under a different administration coming up with the LaSalle Street tax. I mean, this is kind of a similar thing. They've always tried to find a way to tax their way out of issues or problems. And I think that's never received very well. I think you have a much better chance of improving whatever kind of city service or whatever human service they're trying to improve. You're better off doing that with cooperation versus taxation.
Dan, I want to switch to gears here and talk a little bit about the commercial real estate market and kind of go up to a 40,000 level view of this. And there are some that say that the commercial real estate market in the area still hasn't recovered from the pandemic. Would you agree with that?
No, in certain areas, Steve, I absolutely would. I think the pandemic obviously had the largest effect on office buildings. Office continues to struggle, and I think it's going to continue to struggle until people start to realize, you know, every user has been reevaluating their office space for the last 4 years. Obviously, we just came across the 4-year anniversary of really the lockdowns in early March of 2020. So I think with it being 4 years now, some of the pain, or most of the pain, hopefully, has been felt. I think in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll really start to see how far further it can go. I think, you know, office users, you know, usually tend to sign 5 to 10 year leases. So hopefully we'll see most of that kind of pain manifest itself in the next couple of years. But I think with multifamily, with industrial, with retail, what started out, particularly in retail, with a huge shift away from brick and mortar has really made, I guess, kind of a comeback. I mean, retail is doing fairly well. I mean, I'm seeing new opportunities for strip centers fairly regularly, and we are lending on retail as well. So I think retail has recovered exceptionally well from what we thought would have been, you know, kind of the nail in the coffin with COVID, with online shopping and e-commerce. But, retail has recovered very well. Obviously, I think multifamily seeing a boost now and maybe a continued boost because of high interest rates. You know, maybe first-time home buyers really can't afford a 6 or 7% interest rate, so they're staying in the rental pool a little bit longer, maybe an extra couple of years. So that's going to help multifamily. And industrial was able to really capitalize on the wave of e-commerce, like I mentioned earlier. You know, the deals are slowing now. I mean, that was between 2020 and really the end of 2022, middle of 2023. Industrial was, it was an insatiable appetite from, e-commerce retailers to open as many distribution facilities as possible. That pace really wasn't sustainable. So I think we're seeing that now vacancy tipping up, but it's very slightly. And, buildings, at least in my experience, are still leasing, and the lease rates are continuing to stay at really record levels. Mm-hmm. So I think industrial has been the one property or asset class that's really capitalized and recovered well over 2019 levels. But like I said, I think office will still have a couple more years of pain, but eventually, I think now in 2024, there have been a couple of downtown office buildings that have traded, and you're starting to see that 50 to 90% haircut on property values. I think if people are willing to take those losses, and there are investors out there that are willing to take that bet that one day office is going to return, I think they'll be fine. But I think we'll have to find a way to repurpose some of the office that may be really just too much right now in the CBD.
The analysis or perspective really comes from the right-leaning Illinois Policy Institute, and one of the things they point is taxes. The property taxes are the biggest problem impacting the commercial real estate market. But isn't it the return to work, right? It's remote workers who are still out of the office, and nearly half a percent, it's 50% out of the office still in Chicago. That's the reason why these commercial spaces are empty, right?
I mean, you know, obviously the remote work absolutely decimated the downtown office market. But I think really what happens is companies had to reevaluate and reassess their space needs. You know, if they had, let's say, 100 workers in an office, they'd need 100 chairs, 100 desks. If they decided after post-COVID and since, even, you know, say today, 70 of those workers are really essential, need to be downtown at least 1 to 2 to 3 days a week. But those other 30 individuals, they can work remotely, fully remote. So that company will have to reevaluate when their lease expires, and or, you know, they could put that extra space up for sublease. But it doesn't eliminate their need for office space, it reduces it. So when I said earlier that I think they need to reevaluate how some of the older office buildings can be utilized, I think that makes sense. But there's always going to be a need for downtown office space. And I think eventually maybe the world normalizes or whatever the case is. Maybe we're in this, you know, kind of hybrid work schedule where some people work remote, some people work part-time, some people work fully in office. I think it's just a matter of time before that space gets absorbed, new businesses are created, new industries start, and, you know, people have come back into or refill the vacant office space. But I don't think the pandemic and the remote work has absolutely killed the office environment. It's just it's just changed it. Now, the real estate taxes, like you mentioned, that has had an effect on office investment. It's much more difficult to find an investor who wants to buy an office building if they're really unsure of what the taxes are going to look like in a year or 2 years or 3 years down the road. So I think we'll start to see what happens with the tax assessments and the reassessments post-COVID. And there really is, I don't see any possible way that taxes on office buildings go up. Just because values have dropped significantly. And I think the assessor, you know, stated that, you know, he was going off of real values. And if that's truly the case, he's going to have to look at what's happened to office values and the office buildings that have traded and really understand what happened, the value situations for office buildings downtown.
The part of the solution might be to revitalize some of these areas or repurpose some of these areas. And that's happening on LaSalle Street, or at least the plan is to make that happen on LaSalle Street. And I bet you were happy to hear that Mayor Johnson is moving forward again, restarting the $1 billion program that will redo some of the buildings along LaSalle Street from offices to sort of mixed use, some apartments and other things happening there on LaSalle Street. That's good news for the city, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's one thing that Mayor Johnson, you know, he kind of picked up the ball that Mayor Lightfoot left when she left office with her administration. But I think they were trying to revive kind of the LaSalle Street corridor and reimagine what we can do with some of that vacant office space. I think that's an amazing opportunity to revitalize the downtown area. And you know, LaSalle Street's kind of the main artery that runs through downtown, and if you can liven that up, if you can add residential units to the downtown market, I think that improves everybody, right? It takes away some of that vacant office space that is no longer needed. It takes, you know, it adds more people, a higher population to the downtown area. So, you know, the ancillary restaurants and shops, things like that are downtown, they can, you know, continue to operate. It's just difficult for, I'm sure, restaurants to operate in the loop if there's only, like you said earlier, 50% of the traffic down there. If you can make the downtown, particularly LaSalle Street, a 24-hour neighborhood, I think that's going to do wonders for the retail that's been around LaSalle and the Loop.
The LaSalle Street Reimagined Initiative is what it's called, and I guess I didn't realize the scope of the size of what might be involved here, but I saw a report that it's about 2.3 million square feet of space that could be repurposed, which is equivalent to almost 40 football fields. That's a lot of space. That's a big revitalization for that area.
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive lot of square footage. With the problem, I think that, you know, may have started this trend is, you know, obviously LaSalle Street's been around forever. Those buildings there are old. They're maybe starting to become a little antiquated for office users. Office users need to attract workers with the highest quality space, and that's, you know, just tended to be newer buildings. I think the character of the buildings that are on LaSalle Street would lend themselves really, really well to apartment users or possibly condos. Obviously, the old Chicago Tribune tower that was repurposed to condos, and those condos look amazing. I mean, the old architecture and, you know, the design kind of flourishes in those old buildings would really make for unique and interesting places to live, and I think that would be a great way to repurpose those buildings. And maybe most of the office dynamic has shifted west towards the river, towards Wacker, towards the train stations, toward Fulton Market. If we can find a unique way to repurpose those beautiful old historic buildings on LaSalle Street, I think that's amazing for the city, and it'll be amazing for the people who get to live in truly unique buildings like that.
Yeah, and maybe you bring even that movement back a little bit from the west back to the east a little.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you still have the East Loop too. So, there's still a lot of downtown. I mean, when you think about it, Steve, I mean, there's a ton of office space in the downtown. I mean, when you go from the lake heading west all the way out to, like I said, Fulton Market, I mean, there's a lot of square footage. And, you know, maybe with people reevaluating their space needs, they just don't need that much office space. But we got to figure out a way to repurpose that office is something that's useful, because you really can't start knocking down buildings on LaSalle Street. You can repurpose them, but I think they're going to be there for the long haul.
Dan, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, always great, Steve. Thanks. They can call me 312-544-4657 or my email, daniel.behrens@associatedbank.com.
All right, Dan, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.